Once again, it's Monday, but you know that that's good because that gives us the opportunity to talk about things on the other side of the Atlantic in MLS Monday as we talk all things soccer. Our Major League Soccer expert, Drew Farmer, joins us. Drew, good afternoon.
Hey, Andy, always good to be back and talk a little bit about another piece of silverware handed out over the weekend in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, last weekend we were talking about Sporting KC and the fact that they're an undervalued team by many, but they're good at picking up silverware. We've now seen Toronto, who a lot of people have talked about all year really as the standouts. They've had a blip or two, but things have gone their way. They got a victory at the weekend and now they have the Supporters' Shield.
Yeah, that's right. A victory over the weekend, a 4-2 win over New York Red Bulls and a hat trick thanks to Justin Morrow. And the TFC pick up their first, what I would say, real piece of silverware in Major League Soccer in their history, and that's the Supporters' Shield. And to any of our new listeners, that's the trophy given out to the team with the most points at the end of a regular season. And currently TFC with 65 points, but do have two games left to play this season. And in the end, Andy, they could set the record for the most points in a single MLS season with 71 if they can hang on to win their next two games. And, you know, last week we talked about that little blip, as you mentioned a minute ago, that TFC was on two straight losses until the weekend's win over New York Red Bulls. And, you know, they've played the last four games without star man Sebastian Giovinco. And, you know, even though losing two losses in that time, or picking up two losses in that time, the team has done quite well. And they've shown really this season that they can win without Giovinco. He's only played 23 times, and that's considerably down from his performances last year where he played in every game that TFC played. And he's only got 15 goals in that time, and his assists are also well down with just six this season. And, you know, if Toronto can make it all the way to the MLS Cup final, I think they have a real good shot at winning it with or without Giovinco this season because this team has just really improved this year. You know, with him out of the lineup. But, you know, it's all about getting to that MLS Cup final. Only six times in MLS history has a Supporters' Shield winner gone on to win the MLS Cup in the last 21 seasons. History not really on their side going into the postseason, but hopefully the team will have Giovinco back as they ramp things up after this international break.
For me, when I look at Toronto, I'm not really surprised that they're in this situation because they have, and as we were referencing last week, a lot of other imports to Major League Soccer tend to be to the more senior in years end, and that's maybe not in vogue at the moment, where if you look at Toronto, their marquee, if you like, their marquee foreign player is Giovinco. He is not the age of the others, but then if you look, they've got Michael Bradley. He's the guy who runs the midfield. Well, he is, you know, a big part of the US men's national team. Jozy Altidore, who granted this side of the water he doesn't do very much, but in Major League Soccer he has proven that he's of the level. So to me, they are a very well run, very well rounded squad. So I'm not overly surprised to see them in the state that they are currently in.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the thing about all three of those players, they're pretty much in the prime of their careers. You know, Giovinco had those opportunities to play with Juventus and play in Europe, and it didn't really go his way. And he has found his level in Major League Soccer. And I really think that teams who are looking for, you know, that marquee player should do all they can to find that Giovinco-esque player, because he really translates well to different areas of on the pitch. He can create, he can score, he really does it all. And his play has really made other players better, including Altidore, who is pretty much injury free now after suffering several injuries when he first came, and as well as those other players, those fringe players, he's made better. So, in my opinion, probably the best signing, the best player to ever play in Major League Soccer is Giovinco.
Just very quickly, and this probably will be pretty brief because there's not much else to say, but with Major League Soccer, the international break is something that's not strictly followed, so there are a handful of games in the next week or so.
Yeah, there are a handful of games just coming up. Most of these teams that are playing, though, do have games in hand at the moment, so they're just kind of leveling things up with just a couple of weeks left to go in the regular season. Over the weekend, there will just be four games taking place between October 4th and October 8th, as many of the national team players are being called from the U.S. team, so that gives a chance for some teams to have a little bit of a break before the playoffs get started.
I did note, though, on Wednesday, October 4th, there's a meeting of two of the new teams in the league, or the two new teams in the league this season. We've talked in the past on MLS Monday about how dreadful Minnesota United's defence has been. It's better now, but it's been dreadful. And we've talked about how great Atlanta United's scoring has been in their new stadium. It's Atlanta taking on Minnesota. All I'll say is to the Loons, very best of luck.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, one good thing for Minnesota United is they're not the worst team in terms of defense and giving up goals this season. That's gone to the LA Galaxy, who sit last in the Western Conference. They've given up 62 goals. But it's going to be a really good game. And if you cast your mind back to the beginning of Major League Soccer, I guess it was back in March, these two teams were one of the first games of the season on the opening weekend. And if you remember, it was a massive snowstorm that the two played in, and we did see Atlanta United really put the goals past Minnesota, and that's really set the table or set the tone for what Minnesota has had this season, just a blizzard of goals going past them.
Nice pun. To the national side then, the USMNT, men's national team, they, in World Cup qualification, if you look at the CONCACAF region, you think certainly they should have a realistic chance of getting to World Cups. They've been pretty consistent since about 1990, as far as I can remember. They're in a bit of a situation, though. In the last two sets of games in the international break, they lose out to Costa Rica, they draw with Honduras. They're in a situation now with Panama and Trinidad and Tobago coming up where victories is what must happen.
Yeah, and really anything can happen. Anything less of a victory could see the U.S. crash out and not make it into the World Cup finals. The U.S. currently sitting in fourth place in CONCACAF. They sit behind Mexico, Costa Rica, and Panama, Panama being the only team that they'll probably catch. The USA, really, in this whole cycle, have been very poor. We talked about Jurgen Klinsmann long ago. Bruce Arena came in. He's turned things around a bit. But, you know, the USA still isn't really cracking onto the way that we really expected them to. They're in a bit of danger, but the good news is they will be taking on a team already eliminated from qualifying for the World Cup in Trinidad and Tobago in their final game of qualification. So, theoretically, the USA can get past Trinidad with a win there. They do play Panama on October 6th, which Panama sit right above them, 1 point above them. And, you know, the USA have struggled with them. They struggled with them in the Gold Cup earlier this season or earlier this year. And, you know, Panama drew with them in World Cup qualifying. So the U.S. really need to put in a strong performance in these two crunch games. They've called up the usual suspects, if you will. Not a lot of change from the players that Bruce Arena has been calling in. And, you know, the U.S. very, very much in threat of having to go for an extra game, a playoff game. If they finish fourth, Andy, they will have to play an inter-confederation playoff with a team from the Asian Confederation. And right now, those two teams that they would play would be either Syria or Australia. So, you know, even if they do finish in fourth, they're not assured a spot in that World Cup 2018 tournament in Russia next year.
Which, for me, would be a great sad loss if they weren't there. But also, I think just from the point of view of things going seriously wrong, they need to be there. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. Just sticking with internationals as well, you've alerted me, Drew, to something that has completely passed me by. But there is Major League Soccer interest when it comes to the England squads, not the main squad for this international break, but a player whose past playing career includes Manhattan Soccer Club, then the Wake Forest Demon Deacons and now New York City FC. But it's a 20-year-old who was born in Stoke, raised in Bolton, and now playing for New York City, but in the under-21 squad, I think it is, for England.
Yeah, that's right. Jack Harrison, who has been a fantastic player since joining New York City last season. He did play in the in college in the USA, where he won the National Player of the Year Award and then became the number one draft pick in the Major League Soccer Draft 2016. He's been called up to the England under-21 team, so he'll be playing in the upcoming Euro qualifiers, and that's just a fantastic feat for an MLS player at such a young age. You know, we see a lot of the players who do get called up to international, a lot of them do have already a pedigree with one of these teams, with their teams. When David Beckham was called up to England, he'd already had that long pedigree, and, you know, Kaká with Brazil, et cetera, and so forth. But Harrison has never gotten to play with the the under-21s or any of the England youth national team. So I think this is just a fantastic a job, you know, for him, a fantastic achievement for him, and that he's been able to work for this. He's had 10 goals this season in 32 games for New York City, and you know, he's really played well alongside he's played really well alongside David Villa in the New York attack, and you know, a great achievement. And maybe we can see more of these young English players coming over or going over to the U.S. to ply their trade in Major League Soccer. But again, Harrison was a bit of a different case. He did move to the U.S. at a very young age and did get to come up in the U.S. soccer system a bit, playing in college and in high school. So, you know, it's a great sign and something great that I think MLS should really promote to young players around the world, that this is a place that you can really develop and become something that you can't in other places.
2-3 weeks ago, Drew, we were talking about Sporting KC's Eric Palmer-Brown signing with Man City. Now we're talking about Jack Harrison getting this call-up. Do you feel that suddenly there are scouts from big leagues who are looking at Major League Soccer and actually thinking, hey, there's decent youth talent here?
That could be the case in terms of Eric Palmer-Brown. He was being looked at as he was playing with the U.S. youth national teams, and so that was a chance for him to get his name out there and to be seen. With Harrison, I think it's helped that he's played under Patrick Vieira. He's played there in New York City, and he also plays for a team that's co-owned by Manchester City. So I think those things have kind of helped him. They've helped keep his name out there and to get some eyes on him. So it's a great thing for him and a great thing for Eric Palmer-Brown, as we talked about him weeks past. And perhaps we could see a few more young players, you know, getting these kinds of moves and being scouted a bit more.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that can develop and whether big name players or players with future big names maybe start coming from Major League Soccer and the USA a little bit more. It's always good fun, though, to talk Major League Soccer. Remember, as you listen to this, if you want to get in touch with me and Drew, if you're on Twitter, use the hashtag MLS Monday. We'll pick those up. If you've got any maybe fun stories from the league that you think we might have missed or so, get tweeting us on Twitter, obviously. And we'll be back next week with more Major League Soccer chat. Drew, though, for this week, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, always good to be back, Andy, and I'll speak to you next week.